Right, so we want to get to trusting God. I hope we already are, but we want to be reminded of some of the challenges and then as well the benefits. Some of our challenges, again, quick review. The pitfalls, we have seven of them, if I recall. The good times, the instruments, you know, putting our trust in other things other than God. The small things, our emotions can certainly get into it, our solutions. When we think we've got it all figured out, and then as well, even our ambitions and our knowledge, or as I have in there, in knowing our risk. We kind of measure out those risks and work accordingly. But knowing that sometimes causes us to struggle in our trust toward God. Last time, which has been a couple weeks now, choosing to trust God, our objective, reminding ourselves of what our objective in life is all about. Before we look at all the kind of the gain, the benefit of trusting our God, we need to be reminded that this is not about the gain. This is not about the benefit. Our objective in life is to glorify and honor Him in all that we do. And trust in the Lord and do good. Excuse me. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And to remind ourselves of our objective, because that is important before we get to where we'll begin today in our chapter. Some of the benefits, the gain of truly trusting our God. Which the first one that we have in the book is the aspect of thanksgiving or giving of thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, familiar verse. It's not familiar, hopefully it will be next month. In everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each one of us, concerning you. And all circumstances, all trials, all of life's difficulties are, in essence, to produce what within us? Thanksgiving. A heart of gratitude. In everything, give thanks. So a couple of quick points here. Somewhat from the book as well. Number one, thanksgiving or thankfulness is definitely not natural. Now, if you've been here very long, you know you probably have heard my rant about all natural. And how probably everything that is stated as all natural really isn't all natural. I don't know that I've ever seen it on a display of pears or oranges. That would be all natural in many cases. In fact, many times those aren't even all natural anymore, but in most cases that would be the case. We get our water from Walgreens. And right there alongside of the water dispenser is all the health pills and whatnot, and many of them say all natural to some extent. And I know you've heard me rant on about this before, but God made vitamin C in oranges and other things. He did not make pills. And anything that is made in a lab, regardless of what its point is not natural. It is not natural. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't take it, but it does mean that, in my opinion, they should not be writing all natural across it. For instance, fish oil is very beneficial to your heart and other things. But that comes in a natural form. And it's usually swimming. it doesn't come in little pill forms. And I shouldn't say little, because usually fish pills are like this big. That is not all natural. There is nothing all natural about that. It was made in a lab. And when you even consider the fact that everything behind the counter at Walgreens has a, FDA, Food and Drug Administration requirement, and logs and all that have to be, exactly what goes into it must be presented. Everything that's on that counter is not regulated by the FDA. They often will say regulated by, it'll be something else, which is another entity. But there really isn't anything that is a requirement on their behalf to tell you what's in it. And I know there's been all kinds of studies that have proven that. And some are good, some are better than others. We'll say it that way. But let me just back up and say, none of it is all natural. All natural does not come in a jar with a sealed lid and a little plastic ring around it. That's not natural. That is not how God made things. All that God has made is all natural. And I think I've said in the past, it's funny to me that we, as a society, seem to be all driven on this all natural, even in pill forms. And I've mentioned this time or two before that cow manure is about as all natural as one can get. And I have no desire to have any part of that all natural. In the same way, not all things, in fact, most things that claim to be all natural really actually aren't all natural. Cereal, again, it can be made from natural ingredients, but that the way that it's made, and that is not natural. That doesn't happen. In my opinion, if it says all natural, that means God made it. And he made it in that form, in that shape, in that size, to that extent. That's natural. That's what God did. When we look at thankfulness, sometimes I think we put the same little warning label on our minds anyway, that being thankful is all natural. And I know that we realize that there's times that we aren't thankful. But I don't know if we always gather the point that being thankful is not just going to naturally happen. Being thankful because I got what I wanted, that's natural. That's selfishness. That's fleshly. I get what I want. I am very happy, and I'm very thankful for that. That's kind of like that jar of fish oil that says all natural. It's not. That's not natural thanksgiving. That is selfish happiness because I got what I want. Truly being thankful is, well, not natural. And when we are told to be thankful in all things and everything, give thanks, that is a command, and that's a command that brings us to something that is not natural at all. And I guess I have to back this up and say my illustration of the stuff in the jars at Walgreens is kind of a negative of that's not all natural. Thankfulness is a positive in pursuing that which is not natural. And to remind ourselves that it takes effort, it takes work, because what is natural is selfish gratitude of my wants, of my gain. What is hard, excuse me, and often, we'll say it this way, humanly impossible, is to be thankful truly in all things. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 reminds us of the heart of the unregenerate, to use the word there in the chapter, of those who are not saved. And in verse 21 it says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Remember last week we wanted to look at the purpose of our lives before we could look at the benefits of trust. There it is. They knew God, but they did not fulfill our objective for life. They did not glorify him as God. But notice the very next statement. Neither were thankful. And certainly we probably have heard this verse preached at Thanksgiving time many times. But as you continue on, I won't read the rest of the chapter. Well, let's just say the heart and life that is being described in the rest of this chapter is spiraling out of control. Even ending to the point where, really where we're living right now today, where men and women don't know whether or not they're men or women. And when you realize that how far we've come, the first thing that began was, number one, we forgot our objective. We weren't glorifying God. And the very next byproduct of that was, and we were no longer thankful. When I say we, obviously we're speaking about someone who's not saved here, but that remind ourselves that the heart that is not saved will follow this path, but by the grace of God to deliver them from this path. And the path begins with not understanding our objective to glorify God, followed by immediately the byproduct of, I'm not thankful. Again, selfishly, always thankful for the great things that happen to me. But it's not natural to be thankful when things aren't going well for me. We can read the rest of these verses. Again, I'll take that. But what do the ungodly do? I'll say, if I can use that word, for those that are not saved, what do they do instead of giving thanks? We'll say it that way. Obviously, in those times when things are going well for them, they may be gracious. You know, in fact, even as simple things, you could hold the door open for somebody, which doesn't often happen anymore these days. And someone might say as they walk out, hey, thanks. Also, there's a person who's thankful. But are they truly thankful? Are they truly living out biblical gratitude, biblical thankfulness? What is it that the unsaved would do instead of thankfulness, we'll say? It's kind of like back to Sunday. Answers will vary. What are some of the things that the unsaved will do instead of true thankfulness? Yes, exactly. If something went well for them, pat themselves on the back, look what I did. Instead of truly being thankful and glorifying our God for what he did, kind of get that self-promotion, kind of the pat on the back, might call it fate. They might call it just circumstances, just chance. Maybe they even, kind of along the same lines, call it hard work or determination. But if something doesn't go their way, obviously the whole direction changes completely opposite. And obviously anger and a whole host of things follow thereafter when things don't go the way that they want. And I only say this not to point fingers in judgment by any means, but to remind us that thankfulness is not natural. If we are to live out the command that God has called us to do, to be thankful in everything, and everything give thanks, we have got to be constantly reminded that this is not a natural response. This is not going to just happen in my heart, in my life. I've got to work on this. And one of the reasons is, kind of continuing on, still on the theme of Thanksgiving, but another word being used here, because dependence is not natural. Certainly our thankfulness to our God in all things is demonstrated by our dependence upon him. If we are truly dependent upon God, we can truly be thankful to our God in everything. Because if I'm dependent upon my God, I know that he's in control. I know that he's going to supply. I know that he's going to provide. I know that his will is going to get accomplished, even if it's not what I thought was going to be the outcome here. But if I'm truly dependent upon my God and I am living that out as dependence upon my God, I can be thankful in all things because I know that God is good and God is trustworthy. Acts 17:25 says, he giveth to all life and breath, and these next three words, and all things. He gives us all things. 1 Corinthians 4:7, I think I have those references up there. For who maketh thee to differ from one another, and what hast thou that thou hast didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? It is as if thou hast not received it. Again, reminding ourselves that my dependence upon my God will be a direct correlation to my thankfulness to my God. And if I'm finding it hard to be thankful in the challenging times, I can take that next step and ask myself, so who am I being dependent upon? And I'll give you the answer in most cases, ourselves. It's usually most commonly the answer. When I become dependent upon myself, when I'm trusting in myself, I will find myself not thankful in all things. Now, again, when things are going well, even the unsaved are thankful for selfish reasons. We can do that too. But it's when we trust in our God and we're thankful because of him, even when things aren't going well, that demonstrates our dependence upon him. Luke chapter 17, you can turn there if you'd like, but I know that we know this event that's taking place in Luke chapter 17. We got a few guys that have ultimately, it's a fatal disease, leprosy. Ultimately, it's a very lonely disease because they become outcasts. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And boy, there's a whole strong message right there. So many times our God calls us to do something, and in our minds we say, I can't do that. I don't have the means, I don't have the ability, I don't have the right. They certainly could not enter even into the town as lepers, much less go show themselves to a priest. But Christ says, hey, go show them yourself on the priest, and they go, and as they go, they are healed. And one of them, when he saw, obviously we know, 10 total, one saw, sees that he's healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger," or this foreigner, the Samaritan. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Now I know that this passage has been discussed, so then were the other ones, did they get the leprosy back? obviously, as they went, they were healed, so all 10 of them experienced the exact same thing, only one turned back. Kind of have to wonder, did God just say, "Well, you know, if you're not going to be thankful, there you got it back." We don't know that. But let's throw out some ideas here. Remember on the different circumstance, the demon-possessed, was it just one guy? I know there's several instances. I'm trying to think in my mind here. One guy, demon-possessed, multiple demons. Christ sends them into the pigs, and the pigs go and over a cliff, and they die. What would be the reality if the same thing happened here? 10 guys have leprosy. They ask Christ for help. What if after they went, 10 guys with leprosy transitioned into 10 guys without leprosy, but over here, 10 guys without leprosy now have it? He transferred it from one to the other. We would certainly say, what's up with these other 9 guys that didn't come back to give thanks? But how many of those 10 that now got it because these other 10 are no longer infected, how many of those would we expect to come back and say, fall on their faces at his feet and say, "Thank you for what you've done"? If this were me telling this parable, I'd say not a single one would. Why would anybody, again, Thanksgiving is not natural, but why would anybody do such a thing? If they were the ones that life was going well, they were going about their business. In fact, they were able to have a business. They weren't an outcast. They weren't separated from their families. They weren't living out of town. They didn't have to cry out, leprosy. We go to Maranatha or Bob Jones, two Christian colleges here this year. And even Josiah kind of liked this. He went into the dorms at one point with the girls to kind of see some things or bring something. I don't remember what it was. And so one of the ladies in the dorm cried out, "Man in dorm!" And Josiah thought that was kind of impressive, that a man in this dorm. You know, the reality of a guy in a girl's dorm, I'm glad that Bible college is still this way. They yell out, "Man in dorm!" And kind of a warning, hey, there's a guy in here, you got to be aware of that. Even if he's 8, you got to be aware there's a guy in this dorm. Could you imagine living out such a life that everywhere you went, there had to be a herald that you were there, and people would scatter, and obviously reading between the lines, but leprosy was a very disgusting, horrible disease. How many times did they see mothers covering the eyes of their children so that they would not have to see you as you walked? And here you now are being healed as you are going to present yourself. The obvious question is, what, as Christ asks, what's up with the other 9? But if those 10 got their disease transferred to somebody else, would any of them have shown up? Yes. Exactly. For help. That's the exact point, yes. Sometimes it's amazing how the Lord does that. He'll bring us through things just to remind us, you're not so much dependent on me yet. And not again that God's sitting up there on his throne with a lightning bolt just zapping us because we're not behaving ourselves. But I do think that there are times that our Lord allows things in our lives just to mold us. We know that. To remind us of who he is, to show us, as Paul points out, that we would understand his grace in a fuller way, to understand what we do have in him in a greater way. And honestly, I am not going to be naturally thankful for gaining leprosy because somebody else now doesn't have it. That's not something that I'm going to go to Christ and fall on my feet or fall on my face at his feet and say, "Lord, this is just thank you. Thank you for this." Because that's not a natural response. But If I'm truly dependent upon my God and I know that God's got this under control. Now, that doesn't always mean that I'm going to be the next survivor. I'm going to be the next one who has it taken away from me. I may die of that disease. But God's got this under control, and I'm dependent upon him. And we need to realize that our dependence is not natural, but it's a requirement to truly be thankful. Could you imagine if you purchased a brand new car, literally brand new car, it's got, you know, 8 miles on it. Bring it home the very next day, you go out to start it, and it doesn't start. What would be our first response if that happened? Just spent a gazillion bucks on this brand new vehicle. Maybe it's the first brand new vehicle you've ever bought in your life. There it sits in your driveway. Just got it yesterday. Head out to go wherever, probably to show it off to somebody today. Nothing. That probably has happened to somebody along the lines. But that can be extremely discouraging. I would dare say that most people don't say, "Thank you, Lord." I'd just guess that. But as well, I would also guess that if it did start up, I would also guess that we wouldn't say, "Thank you, Lord." Now, we've owned some vehicles, still own some vehicles, that it actually starts, and, "Wow, thank you, Lord." One more time, we get to go somewhere in this thing. But you wouldn't naturally do that with a brand new car, because our dependence is on the newness instead of on the reality of our God. And thanksgiving, thankfulness, it's not natural. Dependence is not natural. But I won't be able to have a truly thankful heart in all things until I'm truly dependent in him in all things. Lastly, kind of continuing on with the lepers here, joy is definitely not natural. If we truly believe the verses there that I read in Luke chapter 17, and truly strongly, as Christ pointed out, why didn't all 10 come back? If we use my possibility of what if, instead of truly healing, maybe he just transferred them, like the demon possessions, into the pigs. What if he transferred that disease to 10 other people? Now we have 20 people involved. 10 had it and now don't. 10 didn't and now do. We've got 20 people in the equation. Which of those 20 do you think are going to be truly joyful? Hopefully the 10 that once did and now don't are going to be ecstatic, are going to be jumping for joy, are going to be running as fast as they can to the high priest to say, "Examine me, see if I am clean, so I can go home to my family, so I can go home to my business, so I can go home and see my children." The other 10 probably are going to struggle with this again. And the same verses I have already read, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Acts 17:25, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. 1 Corinthians 4:7, we didn't see, read this one last, "For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Again, reminding ourselves the very reality that all that we have is from our God. And because of that, we got to be joyful for all things, because we are dependent in him in all things. And the result then is, going backwards, thanksgiving in all things. How then can we give thanks in bad times? How can we truly do the unnatural thing of being thankful when things aren't going well, to whatever extent? That might involve a brand new car that won't start. It might involve a situation at work. It might involve a roof that suddenly started to leak. It might involve all sorts of different things. It's amazing in insurance, obviously. Part of my work is dealing with those that have claims. Claims never happen in a convenient time, in a convenient way. And I can also say this, what the insurance company decides they're going to pay for that claim never happens, to the extent that we, as the loss person, desire. How can we give thanks even in the bad times? Obviously, several points. Realize the sovereignty of God. God is in control. I can then give thanks even in the bad times. Realize the goodness of God. Realize the authority. I know that kind of goes the same as sovereignty, but the authority of God. Realize the holiness of God. And I think the holiness, it goes back to like chapter 1, but I think the holiness of God is something that we need to be reminded. We can talk about it, we can sing about it, holy, 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 hymn number 9 in our hymnals. But do we truly remind ourselves of the holiness of God, then the very will of our God and the sovereignty of our God, the goodness of our God and the authority all mixed together to realize that that which happens to us, God is still in control and God is still holy. And I may be struggling at the very reality of life in the present, but my God has not changed. And because of that, I can have joy if I am dependent upon Him. And if I am dependent upon Him, I can be thankful because I trust Him. Basically, Romans 8:28 again, trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. Now, that's Proverbs, but to be able to understand the goodness, here's where I'm going, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good and trusting Him in that. But realizing that the very next verse, verse 29, reminds us, it's not because I get what I want. Not because things are going the way I want. It's not because things are just falling in my lap and things are happening and I don't know how it is and God's just doing good things. The reminder that the good that God does in verse 28 is molding us into His image in verse 29, which is never an enjoyable process for any of us until we realize that I can still trust God in it. To realize that joy is not natural, dependence is not natural, thankfulness is not natural. I think it was a quote from our books. We must realize that God is at work in a proactive, not reactive fashion. That is, God does not just respond to an adversity in our lives to make the best of a bad situation. Sometimes how we try to make things the best of a bad situation. He knows before He initiates or permits the adversity exactly how He will use it for our good. And again, for the example of Paul, it may be a thorn in the flesh that we may never get delivered from. But God already knows before it happened how He's going to use that for His good. And Paul can declare to us, here's how it worked out good for me. Not that I got rid of this thing, but because I realized His grace is sufficient for me. God allowed that thorn in the flesh, whatever it is, to be a means to remind him of who he is so that he can find his joy not in the thing or the removal of it, but he can find his joy in his God. And what a challenge. And everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ, will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do we trust God? Thanksgiving is a byproduct of truly trusting God. But thanksgiving is something that we should be pursuing just in and of itself. If I am living out a life, last time, that my life is about giving God the glory with my everything and all that I do, I'm giving Him glory, thanksgiving will just happen. Just be a byproduct of my trust in my God. And honestly, I can say this. If we could live this out, the world will take note. Because that's not natural. That's not humanly possible to do it in and of our own strength. And what a testimony we can have to a lost and dying world. Sort of like the Paul and Silas singing praise at midnight in the jail. That's not natural. Well, what are you thankful here? Why are you giving praise to God? That's not that. No, that's not what we do here. People scream out in agony. People scream out for deliverance. People scream out that someone will let them free. They don't sing praises to God. That's no. What's going on in here? I need that. If we could learn how to live out the unnatural thankfulness, I strongly believe that we'd have an impact in hearts and lives around us in ways we never imagined. Literally as simple as people saying, how can I have that? Because that kind of thanksgiving is not just about the end of November time frame. It's not just about you got something good and you're selfishly happy for that. This is about something that I've never seen displayed before, and I'd like to be able to do that too. And what a joy that will be to be able to be in that position, in that place, if we learn to trust our God. The byproduct of thanksgiving.